and I can submit your name. And then if you decide you don't want to go, that's okay. But if you decide 2 weeks from now that you'd like to go, it'll be too late. Okay? So pray about that. If you don't know my cell phone number, hit me up before church, after church, and I'll give it to you. And then the other thing I want to do before I hand it off to Brother Pastor Caleb is we're going to be asking people to bake cookies for us, and I'll have more information on that next week or maybe even Wednesday night, because I'm teaching Bible study Wednesday night, so if I can have some stuff done by then, I'll do that. And we need financial support, all that good stuff, but the first thing I wanted to mention in this very, very short... I told her I'm going to be real quick. I shouldn't have done that. I apologize. But anyway, pray about going in on Sunday morning. And all it is it's like a celebration of men who gave their lives to Christ, okay? Like we say that the angels celebrate in heaven when some... That's what that is on Sunday morning. It's powerful. It's if you were there all weekend, you wouldn't believe your eyes. But when you see these men on Sunday morning after spending 4 days, it's miraculous what you see in these men. So if it interests you, let me know. And I thank you for listening. And with that, I'll have Pastor Caleb's going to open with our call to worship.
I could talk without a mic, but I'd have to yell. Well, good morning. We're so happy to be here today with the church, not in the church. It feels nice. But this morning, I want to read to you out of the book of Psalms, chapter 34, verses 4 through 7. And it just says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and rescued me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant with joy. Their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him from his troubles. And then it says this, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. You know, the Bible says is he has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. But we fear him because he can do all. He knows all. He's everything. But I want to encourage you this morning that I don't know what you're going through, and I don't have to, but he does. But just know something, that when you look to him, he has an army that you can't see. And it's around you, and it's fighting every battle before it technically gets to you. So this morning, if you'd stand, we'd like to pray over our tithes and offerings. There's multiple ways to give. I know it's not on the screen, but you can, via the baskets up here, there's ways to give online. If you don't know what it is, find somebody that's here every Wednesday or every Sunday, and they'll help you out. It's okay. All right, let's pray. Father, we just thank you, God, for this service. We thank you for this time. Each week, God, that we can come together and gather in your name. Father, we just pray today, God, you just bless this service, God. We invite you here, Father. You're not here just to take part in this service, God, but we give it to you, Father, to take over in this service. Now, Father, we just pray today, Lord, that you just bless us, God, that you move and however you see it fit, Father, if we give you complete control of this. But God, today we ask that you just anoint this offering as it's being sowed to you, Father, not to Lighthouse PCG, but the kingdom of God, your kingdom. That's what we're sowing into today, Father. And we just thank you. We bless every hand that gives and every hand that cannot as well, God. We just ask today that you just touch us all in our hearts, God. And we thank you and give you the glory and the praise and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen.
I hear the sound of the army of the Lord.
I hear the sound of the army of the Lord. It's a sound of praise. It's a sound of war. The army of the Lord. The army of the Lord. The army of the Lord is marching on. Oh, I hear the sound of the army of the Lord. I hear the sound of the army of the Lord. It's a sound of praise. It's a sound of war. The army of the Lord. The army of the Lord. The army of the Lord is marching on. Oh, I hear the sound of the army of the Lord. hear the sound of the army of the Lord. It's a sound of praise. It's a sound of war. The army of the Lord. The army of the Lord. The army of the Lord is marching on. I hear the sound of the army of the Lord. I hear the sound of the army of the Lord. It's a sound of praise. It's a sound of war. The army of the Lord. The army of the Lord. The army of the Lord is marching on.
The weapon may be formed, but it won't prosper. When the darkness falls, it won't prevail. 'Cause the God I serve knows only how to triumph. Oh, my God will never fail. Oh, no, my God will never fail. 'Cause I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. 'Cause I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. And every war he wages, he will win. But I'm not backing down from any giant. Know how this story ends.
Oh yes I do. Sing it again.
I know how this story ends.
Because
I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. For the battle belongs to you, Lord. 'Cause I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory. Turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. You take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
Oh, you take
what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good.
Oh,
you take what the enemy meant for evil, and you turn it for good. You turn it for good. For the battle belongs to you, Lord.
Playing the song. Listen, church. We have to understand what God wants to do. We are on the precipice, on the verge of an awakening in our generation. And God's looking for His people, His prophets, who will listen to His voice. And when He tells you to prophesy to the bones, that means speak to that dead thing. As a pastor in America, I speak to the American church right now. And I prophesy to the bones of the American church. And I say, you will live and not die. The day of the church is not over just because it seems like it's over. No, no, no. The day of the church is still here. It's still working because God has ordained the church. The church is not a body, it's a building. It's not a building, it's a body. It's not a building, it's a body. And it may look like the body is nothing but bones laying in a desert place. But if we prophesy to the body, the bones will come together again. Now listen to me. We stop too soon. We stop too soon. We get excited about the gathering of the body. Don't we? Oh, people are coming together. Hallelujah. We're in revival. No, 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 no. What did God speak to Ezekiel after the bones came again together and the flesh came together? They were a lifeless body laying there. And He said, now prophesy to the wind. Woo! Hallelujah. Prophesy to the wind that it would blow life back into the body. It's more than just a gathering of Christians. It's more than just people coming back to a building. It's about the Holy Spirit moving and living inside of His church. See, when we talk about Pentecostal fire, we're talking about the sound of a rushing mighty wind that filled the house where they were seated. And all of a sudden, God baptized the church with power and fire and might. And they went forth and won their city for Jesus. We're singing more. It's more than just a gathering of people. It's an awakening within the depths of our heart. So what we're going to sing is we're going to go back into that verse, Pentecostal fire. Listen to me. I want you to begin to prophesy to the dead things in your life. If it's something in your heart, if there's an offense there, you speak to it and you say, live. You bring order back into your life and you speak to the Holy Spirit and say, I need you to bring healing in here right now, Holy Spirit. If it's a family member, you begin to prophesy about that family member. If it's a situation at work, you begin to prophesy about that situation in your job. But you begin to speak to the thing that you feel is dead in your life and watch God revive it again. Some of you need to call some people forth, just like Jesus did the tomb of Lazarus, right? They thought they missed it. Jesus missed His miracle moment. He didn't get there on time. He's always on time. He did something greater than just a healing. He resurrected the dead. Speak to your Lazarus. Speak to your dead thing right now. Come on. Let's sing this. Let's go back into worship.
Pentecostal fire, stirring something new. You're not gonna run out of miracles anytime. dry bones rattling. This is the praise, make a dead man walking through. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling.
I'm calling on the God-given. So on Wednesday, we were having a service, and we were doing like a bunch of prayer over people, and then we were doing testimonies at the end. And so I said that at school, I've been like finding it hard to like talk to people about God and show that I am a child of God. And after we've been having these services, like praying over people, I've seen that it's not something to be ashamed of, and I'm proud to be one. And I've been willing to talk to people about it more at school.
Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. For I could rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness.
On your faithfulness.
And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath. Blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Thank you, Jesus.
Every war he wages, he will win. And I'm not backing down from any giant, 'cause I know how this story ends.
Oh, yes,
I know how this story ends. 'Cause I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord. I'm gonna see a victory. I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to you, Lord.
To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every
with Moses and the Israelites. Remember what he did? Here's the Red Sea. He parts it. What does he do for us? We go right through. Right here, he parts it for us. How many times has he parted for you your battles? He's there all the time. He parts it. How many times has he been there for you? Who is at the other side of the Red Sea? He's always there, right? We focus on the battle all the time, but he wants us to focus at the other end. Who's at the other end? Don't focus on the battles and the storms, because he told us there's going to be storms. There's going to be wind. There's going to be rain. There's going to be lightning and thunder. But who's there to protect us? He's got his arm around us, his hand. He's reaching out. We need to go. He parted it. All we got to do is walk through. Walk through. It's always open. There's always an open path. Always. You just got to walk through. He's control. Who is in control? The Holy Spirit. He's there to lead you and guide you. He loves you. Just don't focus on the battle. Focus on who controls the winds. Who laid the foundations of the earth? What He placed inside of you. You have the Spirit of God inside of you. So remember that.
Amen, amen.
There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. To break every chain, break every chain, break every falling.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And I hear the chains falling. And I hear the chains falling. 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 Oh, I hear the chains falling. I hear the chains.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amamama setor rabata rababasi. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Some of you may not fully understand what God's doing in this place right now. Really, what He's doing in us, not just a building, but what He's doing in our lives. And so, you know, there's a lot of different people got up and exhorted different things, shared different things that God laid on their heart. Sometimes we can go, how is that connecting? What's taking place here and how is that connect? And so just want to real quickly connect the dots for you. You see, all the pictures in the scripture that we've heard and the testimonies that we've been given this morning are showing us that we're overcoming, that we're getting through, that no matter what the battles are that are coming against us, no matter what the things are that are facing us, that God, not us, but God, by Jesus Christ, His sacrifice on the cross, His blood, has won the victory for us, and His Holy Spirit is leading us through that victory. See, I think sometimes we forget this because we're in the midst of a battle, but He already won the victory. It's our job to hold on by faith until we see it come to pass in our life, right? And so no matter what we're facing, God is exhorting to us that I've won. I've won. And so what we're asked to do is to fight the good fight of faith. All right? Lay hold on His promises, the things that He has spoken to us. Too many times we get a misunderstanding in the church and we think that we're supposed to fight the demons. We're supposed to fight in this spiritual warfare all of the things that are going on. No. Jesus has already won the victory over them. And I don't care what's happening in the spirit realm, what kind of war, what kind of battle. I don't need to find the highest point of Cary, Ohio and proclaim that we have the victory and that all the principalities are... No, Jesus already did that. My job is to hold fast to that faith in Him. And so one of the ways we do that is through our praise. Now listen, we have a lot of songs out nowadays that talk about our praise and how we see victory in our praise and all this stuff. And sometimes we can get a misunderstanding in that. It's not you conjuring up a feeling that gives you the victory. It's not you singing this song that's giving you the victory. No, your praise is pointing you back to the one who already won the victory. And so there are different disciplines that God's given us to make sure we follow Him as disciples. But then there are also different tools He's given us to build ourselves up in our faith and encourage us. And one of those tools is praise. And the great thing about praise is He gives us multiple avenues of how to praise. Multiple. It's not just like one thing. I know that a lot of American churches think it's just one thing, and that's singing, playing music, the Zamar praise. But that's only one aspect of our praise. One. And we need to understand that in any moment, we need to enlist ourselves in praise at whatever is appropriate for how we feel the Spirit leading us, so that we can remind ourselves that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, has already won the victory. Amen? And so when I heard the Spirit of the Lord start stirring in me, and then Sister Tricia Troiano came up to me and shared a vision that God just gave her during this worship service, but I heard Psalms 47:1. Come to me. We're talking about being an army. We're talking about being the army of the Lord. But you have to understand that whenever the army of the Lord went out, the glory of the Lord went before them. And many times they showed up and the battle was already fought. Right? And so I'm sitting here grabbing my phone so I can look it up and make sure I got the scripture text reference, because contrary to what you believe or not, I do not have every scripture, verse, chapter memorized in the Bible, okay? So I use Prophet Google a lot to help me know which one it is. And I'm getting ready to look it up, and Sister Tricia comes up to me and she says, I just saw that God gave us this, how did you say it? Gigantic? Like, great big gold key. Great big gold key. Now listen, we understand that it is Jesus Christ that has unlocked everything that we need. But in the scripture, God likens different things to keys for us. Do you realize that the discipline of fasting is a key? It's a key that's been given to the church. And so when she said that, and I'm thinking about everything that has happened this morning, everything is said, look, we've already talked about we're prophesying to our issues, right? And then the scripture came forth from Brother Jacob of how we do, you know, God is calling his sons and daughters to prophesy, and he's pouring out his spirit in the last days to do that, right? And then we heard about the testimony that, you know, I didn't know if I had boldness, but after God started moving in my life, I took a hold of that, and I have boldness now to go and be a witness for Jesus. And we, you know, we're hearing about the parting of the Red Sea and how God carried us through. Don't focus on the enemy trying to come at us. Focus that he's going to get us through, right? And so all of this is coming together in the fact that what are we doing right now? We are giving God praise, and we're saying he's won the victory. I'm going to see the victory because he's won the victory. That we are his army, we are his mighty army. We're going to see these chains broken. We're going to see transformation take place. And so what is God saying about this key? God is saying that this church, this morning, this is so powerful, you need to get a hold of this. This morning was just released a big gold key that as we praise God, we will see the enemy scattered. We will see the enemy defeated. We will see whatever is going on in our life overcome because Jesus Christ has already won the victory. And as we praise him, we remember he won the victory. See, the Bible says this, and I will place on his shoulders, who's his? Jesus, the key of the house of David. He shall open and none shall shut. Hallelujah. And he shall shut and none shall open. What does that mean? The key of David. Well, what was David known for? What was the tabernacle of David known for? Praise! Praise! David is the king who set forth the order in his tabernacle that there would be praise being sung 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days in the year. That they always had praise going on in the tabernacle. So what's God saying to us is he's saying that you have been given this key to use in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your storms, whatever's coming against you. If you will just begin to praise me, you will see the enemy scattered. So this is what we're going to do. We did I liked how Sister Peggy Pressler said it Wednesday night. She had a lot better language to say it than I did. I said throw up. That didn't sound very nice. Sometimes I don't have very good. Remember last Sunday we were, she called it a heave offering. That's what the Old Testament calls it. Heave offering. That's what it was, a heave offering, right? We did that. God began to stir in us. That was praise, right? The tauda, the heave offering, right? Well, this is what I felt God say to us to do today. Let me go find my verse here. Got all these things I'm looking up. Psalms 47. See, y'all thought I forgot about that. No, I'm just laying a foundation. And for those of you counting, this is my second message this morning. This was written to the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. For the Lord Most High is terrible. He is great. He is a great king over all the earth. Now, what does shout mean? The word is ruah. And this is what it means. To shout, raise a sound, cry out, or give a blast. And it means to shout a war cry or alarm of battle. Basically, when the church comes together and begins to praise God, there are moments that our praise shifts into a ruah shout. And it gives notice to the kingdom of darkness that the kingdom of light is on its way. And what have I been preaching to you? The light always overcomes the darkness. So this is what I want you to do. Now my daughter, I liked how she said it to me. She's like, Dad, that was kind of strange. I said, yeah, last week when we did the heave offering. It's like, that was kind of weird. I know, it's going to feel weird sometimes. God has us do things that feel weird. But this is what we're going to do this morning. We're going to clap our hands and shout. Because God has given us a key of praise. It's not our praise doing the job. It's us acknowledging that the key has been given to Jesus Christ. And as we praise Jesus, He will go before us and the enemy is scattered. So the Bible says this, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Hallelujah! 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 We've won the victory in Jesus. We've won the victory in Jesus. We've won the victory in Jesus. Hey, ba-da-da-ma-ma-ma, so-to-da-da-la-ba-si-ya. Yeah! Ba-ba-ba-ra-so-to-re-be-da-da-mi-si-ya. Ye-ko-so-ko-ba-da-da-ma-ma-ma-sa. Yo-ko-ma-re-de-ba-da-ma-ma-si-ta-ma-ma-si. Some of you are holding back. Listen, there's going to be people cheering louder than that tonight when their team scores a touchdown. Jesus has won the victory. Yes, yes. Jesus has won the victory. Woo! Jesus has won the victory. Hey, sapo po sapa tara la ba 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 su. Hey, ko sheke mere de be si. Ko re ba da ma 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 su. Shoko re da ba da da ma ma su. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. And at your name, our enemies are scattered. At your name, every knee will bow. That at your name, every soul will be saved. At the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. At the name of Jesus. At the name of Jesus. Oh, your blood, Jesus. Your blood's washed over us and cleansed us from all sin and stain. Therefore, at the name of Jesus, we have victory from every bondage.
Every bondage, every yoke of bondage is being broken at the anointing of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
I am free. Praise the Lord, I'm free. No longer bound.
Yeah.
No more chains holding me. My soul is rescued.
Yeah.
It's such a blessing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm free. I'm living in the light now. I'm living in the light now. I'm living in the light now. I'm living in the light now.
Yeah.
I'm living in the light now. I'm living in the light now.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands one more time. This is a sign of praise also. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now listen to me, church. This is not just for when we're in here. This is not for just when we come together and gather together in a building. No, 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 no. This is a key that is upon the shoulders of David, or which is Jesus, right? That shows that the government is upon him. That means the authority. A key is a sign of authority. And that any time that the enemy would try to lie to us, any time that we're in a situation where we know there's stuff coming against us, we just need to praise him. We just need to praise him. Need to praise him. Look, he didn't say he would not let us have any problems. He didn't say he would not let us have any trials. He said that you would have them. But be of good cheer. For I have overcome the world and everything that's in the world. And so we got to praise him. When we come together, that's just practice. Y'all did pretty good this morning at practice. But the game's on as soon as you walk out these doors. I love your boldness. I love your boldness, Peyton. You say, you know what? God's moving and I'm going to tell my friends about what he's doing. I'm going to witness to him. 13, right? 13-year-old girl. Come on, men. You going to let a 13-year-old girl outdo you, men? Little 13-year-old girl. Just a little school girl. Or are we going to get bold? Next time you get frustrated at work, man of God, and you want to go knock somebody out, how about you just let out a shout of praise unto God that he's given you the victory? Thank God that even though you thought about it, you didn't do it. Because back in the day, you would have just done it. Come on, that's victory. That's victory. We got to live this thing out, church. Outside of this building, we got to live this thing out. Through the pain and the suffering and the trials, we have to praise him because he's a good God. He loves us and he's kept us. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, what God is stirring in us on Sunday morning isn't just for us to have a good time. It's for us to carry this thing to the world around us and make a difference. There's people around the states, the United States of America, that have been praying for God to move. Well, guess how God moves? Through his church. So he's moving us. We got to get after it. We got to get after it. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm trying to figure out where to go from here. Because I got a word I'm going to share with you. I know it'll be my third, fourth, fifth time preaching this morning. I don't care. Here's what we got to understand. We've been talking about being the light. How God gave us his word, and through that word, he gave us life. And the life was the light of men. It's what the Bible says. And the light shines in the darkness, and darkness can't comprehend it. You can go sit down if you want to. I'm going to leave it up to youth pastors what you do. If you want to go
teach kids, you can do that, or they can stay in here. But I want to move into this right now, so just please be respectful of what's going on in the Spirit. Hallelujah. The Word was made flesh, I told you last week, and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning was with God, right? The Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's talking about Jesus Christ. And so in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness does not overcome it or cannot comprehend it. So we overcome this. Now, I told you last week that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God said, let there be light. So therefore, light is the evidence, listen to me, light is the evidence of life. Because in the darkness, there was nothing. There was nothing, right? In the darkness, there was nothing. So that was the absence of life. And then God said, let there be light. When we understand what John told us was in Him was life, and the life was the light of men, that we know then that when He spoke forth that word, life entered darkness and it was manifested in the form of light. Right? So we know that we are alive by the light that is within us. Now, in the very beginning, in the garden state, that was where everything was perfect. It's how God had made it. But then sin entered in the earth when the enemy lied to the people and they believed the lie. And they acted on that lie and sinned. And that allowed darkness to come back into the heart of man. So that meant that we were no longer alive. Well, maybe I should say it better like this. It wasn't the heart, it was the spirit of man. So the spirit of man died. So we now live and are born in this world and we have life, but we have physical life in a body, and our souls, which are made up of our mind, our will, and our emotions, which is our intellect and our desires and our feelings, okay? So that's our soul. That's the soul of man. When you hear people say heart and soul, they're talking about the emotions of the soul, right? So heart is part of the soul. And I'm not talking about your beating heart that pumps the blood through your body, okay? So stay with me here. So we are alive with a physical body, and our soul is alive, but it is dead to God because our spirit man is not alive. And when we receive the light of the revelation of the gospel of truth, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ, our spirit becomes awakened and we become alive unto God, and we experience the saving of our soul, which is the redemption process of God buying back our soul, our mind, our will, and our emotions. But where do the battles always take place? Our mind, our will, and our emotions. Now, I know some battles take place in the physical body that we have of sickness and disease, but where does it weigh most on? Our mind, our will, and our emotions. So, what the enemy has been trying to do from the very beginning of time is he's been trying to kill the life that God put in us. And what he does to Christians is he continually tries to dim the life and snuff it out and kill the life that is in Christians. Why is that? What makes him so angry about this light that lives inside of us? What is it? Just the power of God? What is it? He can't have it. That's another thing. Go to Genesis 1 again. Go to that the scripture for me there. Genesis 1. Genesis chapter 1. And God said, let there be light. And there was light, right? Now skip down to the next verse I have in the notes. I can't read that from here. Let me grab my... Oh, he's got it on the YouVersion for me. Awesome. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. God said, let there be light, and there was light. And the light is the life of men. So when God created mankind, human beings, he created a light that was within us, that was in his image and likeness. Now this is what makes the enemy so angry, is that we carry the image and likeness of God. What did he want? Lucifer wanted to be seated beside God, that he could be God, that he could be worshiped, that he could be praised, because he felt like he was a reflection of the image of God better than God himself. So when he sees humanity, he sees the life and the light that he lost. He sees the image and the glory of God in every Christian's heart, and it angers him because it reminds him of what he lost. It reminds him of the power he forfeited. It reminds him of the glory he gave away when he tried to make himself equal to God. You wonder why you feel like all hell's coming at you sometimes? Because you're disturbing all of hell just by the way you look. It's just by the way you look. There's this light shining out of you. And hell doesn't like it. Hell is disturbed by the light that's shining out of us Christians. And we wonder why we're under attack. Listen, it's because the darkness is trying to overcome the light. But it can't. It can't. So we're made in the image and the likeness of God. Now, if you don't believe me yet, let's just keep reading here. And let them have dominion. Oh man, that's something that the enemy wants too, isn't it? Dominion. Over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So not only does this light give us life, but it also shines through the earth and lets us know that we have dominion over it. Now let's keep reading here. 1 John 1. If you have your YouVersion, you can go there. Actually, you know what? I'll give you yours so you can read along and I'll pull mine up, because I think it's only going to take me a minute here. First John, chapter 1. We're going to start reading in verse 5. This is the message you have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light. Huh. So what I'm saying to you is biblically correct. That if we are made in the image and the likeness of God, and God is light, then that means that there's a light within us that shines forth. It illuminates things. How many of you have ever been in a season where you have just been in the presence of God, you've been walking with God, and you go places and people you don't even know, all of a sudden they just start opening their mouth and sharing stuff with you, personal things with you? You know what that is? That's the light shining in the darkness. And the darkness is uncovering things. And for some reason, this person who has never met you before, doesn't even know your name, is comfortable with sharing intimate details about their life with you. Why is that? It's the light of God shining into their life right now, exposing things. We need to stop being annoyed about that. We need to stop being frustrated that someone's holding our day up, and we need to stop and listen and begin to minister to them. They tell you about their gallbladder surgery, you lay hands on them and pray for them that healing would come to them. Quick recovery would come to them. They start telling you about their family members, and you say, well, you know what? We have hope in Jesus Christ that he restores relationships. And the Bible says that by his anointing power, he binds up the brokenhearted. Guess what he's going to do for you right now? He's going to bind up your broken heart. He's going to fix these relationships in your family. He's going to bring healing as we declare faith. Let's do it right now. And you lay hands on them and you pray for them. Because God is shining light in their dark heart. Because you bear the image and likeness of God. Now this is where we get funny about this, isn't it? You got people who want to run to the extreme ends of the thing. You got some people that, oh God, you can't say that. You can't say that. I'm only a person. I'm only a man. Then you got other people who are like, yeah, see, I always knew I was a God. Are you kidding me? You're both wrong. I tease Lisha all the time. I tell her I got the body of a god. Buddha, he's bald and get a big belly. Got the body of a god. But I'm not a god. I'm not God. But I bear the image and the likeness of God. So why then would I put that down? Why would I act like I'm nothing? I carry the very presence of the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of me. And what we've been talking about is living in God's holy temple, living for him, bearing the image and the likeness of God. And as we begin to do that, yeah, there's going to be things revealed in us. God already started doing that in some people this morning, that he just wants to clean up. He wants to take care of. Hey, do you need to get that out of your life? But then the next step is he wants you to shine what he's given you forth to others and share it. Share it. He doesn't want us to bottle all this up, keep it inside. Look, you can't anyway. You can't. It's life. It's the very epitome of life. It's coming through you. And so the Bible says that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. No darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. So here's what we need to get a hold of, is that what happens is when we keep attaching ourselves to darkness, because he's given us free will, even as Christians, thank God for his grace and his mercy, and his grace periods he gives us, right? That even though we're Christians and we're walking with him, we're children of disobedience, and we're connecting ourselves to darkness, guess what that does then? It casts a shadow in the light that we're shining. Expression that we use nowadays, the kids do, Sister Betty, the kids, they say, you're throwing shade. You're throwing shade. Don't you be throwing shade. Right? Don't they say that? Do I got anybody young enough to know that expression in here? That's what you guys say? Okay, Ryan. If you say you walk in the light, but you're in darkness, you lie. And you don't practice the truth. That's what the verse just says right there. It's what those kids say. No. We throw shade because we allow darkness to come in. Shade. Yeah, shade. Like there's a casting shadow on our light. And then the image of God is distorted. And we wonder why people don't want to be part of the church. It's mixed. Bible talks about the mixture of the wine, right? That's another analogy he uses. No, we are supposed to be purified. Isn't it interesting that it's the fire that purifies us, but it's also fire that gives off light? So if we say we have this light, but we walk in darkness, we're lying. And you know what the saddest part is? We're lying to ourselves. We've allowed blinders to come on our eyes and we're deceiving ourselves. Because, well, bless God, I come to church every Sunday morning. And I give my tithe and offering, I give my time, and I do this good work and I do that good work. And yeah, we're supposed to go do good works because the works don't save us. But because we're saved, we have a desire to help people, right? Makes sense. Okay? But then after we're saved, we think that these good works earn us something with God. No, we do it because there's life in us. And we love God so much that all of a sudden we love people. Them nasty, mean critters called people. We love them. It's because this light that's shining in us. But if we keep attaching ourselves to darkness, we are casting shadows that distorts the image of God. And that's why step one, church, is to deal with us. Deal with us. Don't be throwing shade on God. Don't be veiling God. You hear me? Don't be veiling Him and causing people to only see half of Him. One thing the church has done is they show the judgment side of God, but they don't show the grace side of God. And so they think there's a God up there condemning everybody to hell, trying to destroy the world. No, no, no. He saved the world, that through Him the world might be saved. And then what we do is we flip the veil and we cover the judgment side and only display the grace side. And then people think that they can just do anything they want, live any old way, and everybody's getting to heaven. No, we're casting shade. We're casting a shadow. It's time that we allow the full glory of God to shine forth. Wow. I don't even know if we can imagine it. If we begin to allow the full glory of God, the God in His fullness and glory to shine forth of us. He's telling us in this season, step one is to deal with yourself. Deal with yourself. If you have a judgmental attitude about things, then let God heal your heart. If you're too willy-nilly and you're not serious enough about serving Jesus Christ, then get serious. Stop playing around with sin in your life. Get it out. And it's time that we begin to shine the pure light of Jesus. This is what's so great about the message of the gospel, that it gives us hope that no matter what state we're in, He will rescue us. Even us Christians. We always like to use that scripture, behold, He stands at the door and knocks. If you'll answer and let Him in, He'll come in and sup with you. We use that as a call to repentance for sinners, don't we? But who did He write that to? The church. The church. That was a letter to the church. The church wasn't letting Jesus in. He had to knock on the door. I know y'all keep thinking, Pastor, we have such good services. Why do you have to be such a downer when you preach? I'm stirring your heart. Stirring your heart. Let's stop with the status quo. It's not working. We want change to happen in our communities, in our families. Then it's time that we allow the light of Jesus Christ to burst forth from us. That His grace and His mercy, but also His righteousness and His judgment shine forth. And then truth is revealed and people are enlightened. They're enlightened. They received the revelation of Jesus Christ. He's revealed to them, not just as a Savior. Look, I think a lot of people like that concept, don't they? Because we all know we get in trouble
I mean, come on, let's be honest with ourselves. We get in trouble. We want someone to save us. We want someone to rescue us. So we like the concept of the Savior. What we don't like is the concept of Him being Lord. Rescue me. Save me, Jesus. Oh, thanks. Now that you did, I'm going to go right back and do the very same thing that got me where I was. No, He's Lord and Savior. He's Savior and Lord. And He comes and shines in our life and gives us this light to carry with us into this dark world so that we can make a difference. The Bible says this, but if you walk in the light as He is in the light, you have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So the key is staying in the light, not throwing a veil, casting a shadow anyway, because in Him is no turning of shadow or no variance of the light. He is the Father of light. He gives us good gifts, right? Why do we hide them? So here's the thing. Go to 2 Corinthians 4:6 with me. If you're following the app, it's just the next one. I'm going to get to a point here, and I'm actually going to end pretty quick this morning. Hopefully they got enough time back here. But if not, we'll wait on them. We'll let them have revival, and hopefully it'll come on us. 2 Corinthians 4, chapter 4, verse 6. This is just more evidence. I want to break this down, because sometimes people begin to preach an idea, a thought, but they don't give Scripture behind it. And I can come up with any kind of good thought that preaches good. Man, we would just get up and shout, Brother Randy. We would preach good. But it's got to be biblically sound. That's when my Brother Randy gets excited. He knows the Word. Bible says this, for God who said the Word, right? Let light shine out of darkness, has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's a powerful verse right there. That's a beautiful verse right there. But what I'm preaching to you is this, that there is an analogy in Scripture that, remember, the Old Testament is a type and a shadow of what was to come, right? And so what we have to understand that is when God did the creation story, gave us the narrative of how He created the world, not only is that just us understanding how the world was created, but it's also a parallel of how He recreates the human heart and brings us back into alignment with Him. Well, how can you say that, Pastor? Because of what this verse says right here. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness, the creation story, let there be light, right? Has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So as Jesus is illuminated to us and we see Him in His glory, we receive the knowledge that this is the one. He is the Christ, the Messiah, the chosen one. He has come to rescue us from our sin and we now make Him King and Lord of our life. It is the re-creation story, or it is the new birth. The new birth. So we're speaking about a light coming in us. That means that we have been born again. I'll never forget this, church. I was on my way back from a mission trip in Africa, Kenya, Africa. I met this lady, and if you remember this past year, right around that time that I was there, the Queen of England had passed away. And this lady was a British woman. And I'm standing in line with her to go give my ticket so I can check in and check my bag, whatever I was going to do so I could get to the gate, right? And she strikes up a conversation with me. And she asked me what I was doing in Kenya. I said, I'm doing mission work. I'm a missionary. I'm a pastor. I come over here to preach. And we planted two churches. And she's like, oh, that's great. And I could tell she was a little bit intoxicated. She shared with me how distraught she was over the death of her queen. And I was understanding of that. I think the queen was a good leader for a long time, England, and she promoted some things that were really good, some things that were righteous, and not that we agree with everything, but I think she was good for the country, and many, many, many people loved her. So she was distraught over this, and I just assumed that that was part of her reason, of her, the state that she was in. But then she struck up the conversation with me about being a Christian and how she's a Christian. Of course, she was probably raised in the Church of England, the Anglican Church, because she was British. And so she's talking to me about being a Christian, and she goes, "Now, are you one of those born-again Christians?" You guys got it. Threw me for a loop. I don't even know if I told you this, darling. I mean, it threw me for a loop. I was like, well, yeah. Duh. Isn't every Christian born again? She goes, oh, I don't know if I just understand that. I'm thinking, how in the world can you call yourself a Christian and you're not born again? You see, there's a religion called Christianity. Yes. Then there is a born again experience that makes people be Christians. Yes. And when that happens, there's a light that comes inside of us.
Yes.
It shines forth.
Hallelujah.
And it will change the world around us if we let it out. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. It's a tragedy that we make some songs just for kids, isn't it? Hide it under a bushel, no. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no. I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. We used to sing this, Sister Betty, shine all over Carrie. I'm going to let it shine. Shine all over Carrie. I'm going to let it shine. Shine all over Carrie. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. It's in us, because He's in us. Why are we hiding it? Why are we ashamed of it? I gotta hit this quick. Go to Genesis 1 again, verse 14 through 18. I wanna read this, because I got to hit this, and then we're going to pick it back up next week. God is wanting to shine through us. We are the lighthouse. He is the lighthouse, but He lives in us, and we need to let this light shine from us. Everywhere we go and everything we do. The Bible says this, and God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. Let me pause there for a minute. I don't have time to go into this, but let me just say this. Do you realize that it is the light that controls everything? The times, the seasons, the days, the years. It's the light that's in charge of that. And let them be lights in the expanse of the heavens to give light upon the earth. Everyone say, the earth. And it was so. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night and the stars. And God set them in the expanse of the heavens to give light on the earth. Everyone say the earth. To rule over the day and over the night. And to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. What are you saying, Pastor? Well, let's see here. We understand that the two great lights he's talking about are the sun and the moon. The sun rules the day. The sun rules the day. The day spring of life, when everything is living, where everything bursts forth with life. But the moon rules the night, the time of darkness. Both of these great lights have been set in the expanse to shine light upon the earth. Now here's what we have to understand. Science teaches us that it is not the moon that has a light of its own. The moon, what, Brother John? Reflects what? The light of the sun. And it's the moon that rules the night. Now, I already showed you that in the creation story, God paralleled the story of his redemption. Right? I'm not just saying that this is an analogy, because the creation actually happened. But a new creation story also took place. That in the righteous life of the day, there is a sun. S-O-N, that shines his light. The Bible says that he's so full of light that when the end time comes, there will be no need for the sun and the moon, because he will be the light in the light of the city. And he's so bright, there's not even going to be any shadow cast anywhere. Right? The sun, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, he is the light of the day, the light of life that springs forth. But it is the moon that reflects the light of the sun. What is the moon? The church. The church. Now we like that. We get that. Oh yeah, that's great. You know, we reflect the light of the sun. We don't have our own light, so we take the light of Jesus Christ and we reflect it to all the earth. We like that idea, but do you realize what the scripture said? That it is the moon that rules the darkness. It is the moon that rules the darkness. It is these two great lights that all time is set by, that all seasons align by, that everything that God has ordered comes into place through these two great lights. It is the Son of God and his church that reflects the light of the Son of God, that rules in the darkness. Why are we sniffling and crying and being such big babies when we are the rulers of the darkness? Well, it just ain't like it used to be. Maybe it's because the church ain't like it used to be. We are rulers of the darkness. We shine the light in the darkness, and the darkness can't overcome it. I'm telling you, we are overcomers in Christ Jesus. We are more than conquerors. We have this light and this life that lives inside of us. And yes, you feel this utter darkness around you. You're going to feel that. You're supposed to, because you're the light shining in it. I don't know why we get so upset that we feel the darkness. Hello? We're supposed to. We're in it. We're the only hope it has. We're the only life it has. We're the only light shining in the darkness. We need to concentrate on the fact that we're staring at the sun and reflecting his light into the darkness. We're staring at the darkness too much. No, we need to stare at the sun. And then we make a difference. But too often, church, we've casted a shadow. When's the last time the church has been a full moon? It's brighter in the darkness when there's a full moon. Sometimes I wonder if we're even the thumbnail moon. Have we allowed the cloud of condemnation to roll in over us and not allow us to shine our light in the darkness? There is therefore now no condemnation. Now listen, he convicts us. He convinces us that we need to change. And that's what he's doing in our hearts right now. It's time for us to change, church. That's not condemnation. That's a conviction. It's a convincing that it's time to be the church, because we set the times and the seasons. You want an awakening? You want revival? Then let's shift the season. Let's shift the season. It's that simple. We talk about the tides, the different tides of life rolling in. What controls the tides? The moon. We want the tides to change. The moon's got to start shining. It's time, church. We want a season of revival, then let's have a season of revival. You think God is going, well, you know, I don't want to make people alive right now. So let's wait until next season. Do we really think God says that? He's come to seek and to save the lost. That's anybody and everybody. That's why, don't be offended at me. We can sit down and have a great conversation about it, because I love those types of conversations, but I don't believe in predestination. I don't believe in that, because he wants to save everybody. He has predestined that all who believe would be saved. That's the predestined doctrine. I don't believe in the other stuff that's out there that, well, there's only hope for some. Help us, Lord. I doubt that I'm one of the some if there's only hope for some. Yeah, that's casting shade right there. God wants to save everybody. Everybody can be saved. So if we want a time of revival, then it's time for the moon to shine the light of the sun in the darkness. Right? It's what we need to do. It's what we need to do. It's what God's calling us to do. So we're going to move into prayer now. I'm done with my message. We're into prayer. But I have to go back to Isaiah chapter 6 for us to pray. I already told you last week I was going to do it. I think we got one more week there. And I can't tell you why God's doing it like this. Man, I like the Pentecostal altar services. Laying on of hands, people getting slain in the spirit, people shouting, running out, and we'll have that again. But God's doing something in us that's so much more expedient. You understand? We need this more than just a good shouting time. I was even praying to God this morning, and I said, God, I love the manifestation of your power and the power of your resurrection. I love that. We were feeling that when we were worshiping this morning, weren't we? We were talking about them dry bones living again. We were feeling that. I love that. But I said, but God, what you're doing in the individual heart right now is so much better than us just having a good church service. And so we need to pray this thing through. Isaiah 6. Go with me there. Isaiah chapter 6. We know that it was in the year that King Uzziah died. And we've talked about that. And he saw the glory of God. We're beginning to see hints of the glory of God among us. My heart's cry is that you see it in your own private devotion time. You begin to see the glory of God manifested in your life. You're just like, wow, whoa. Pastor Darius and I were here Friday morning. I don't know what it was. Maybe you have a better understanding than I do. All I know is we were here Friday morning and it was about time to wrap up. You know how us human beings are. Yeah, it's done. We need to wind it down. It's almost 7:15. It's almost time to be done. And other people who came that morning, they had to go, and that's fine. I understand that. They weren't here. So it was just me and Pastor Darius, and I was up here walking back and forth like I do all the time, pacing, praying in tongues, and Pastor Darius was back there doing the same thing, praying in tongues. And it was like almost like we were in sync, but I'm not trying to be. And there was a couple times, Pastor, I even saw you, and I was like, let me hold up. I don't want to walk the same. And then I would look back over, I'm like, I'm in sync with him again. Like, what's going on here? God was doing something in the natural and the spiritual at the same time. And about 7:10 is what you said. All of a sudden, something hit this place. Hit me and him and hit this place. It was a manifestation of his glory. It was a quickening in our lives. I don't know what it was, but I liked it. We saw his glory for a minute there. It was just a glimpse, but we got it. I want that. Do you want that?
Yes.
I want to see the Lord high and lifted up in his train fill this temple. So this is what we're praying for, right? And then he says, "What we see the burning ones, the seraphims praising God in the midst of this, and they're crying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. We've been doing that in our worship and our praise. All the whole earth is full of his glory. The foundations of the temple shook. The posts shook at their praise. Man, I believe we shook some things this morning with our ruah shout. We shook some things. Even if it was in our own life, we had to shake it loose, right? But then, in seeing the awe and glory and wonder of God, Isaiah realizes, woe is me. For I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live amongst the people of unclean lips. Last Sunday, we talked about that, and we prayed about that, and I want to continue to pray about that this Sunday, but I want to go to the next part. We understand that the seraphim come and flew down, took the tongs of the altar, and took a coal and touched the lips, purified his speaking, right? Purified what he's saying. This is the key. When we allow the Holy Spirit to purify us so that we aren't casting shadows, when we shine the light, how do we shine the light? A lot of times we speak it, right? Speak the word forth, the light comes out. If we're saying unclean things, we're casting a shadow. So as we purify our mouths, we can shine forth for God the way he wants us to. But then he heard this, verse 8, read it with me. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me. Now we stop there because we already know the rest of the story. But Isaiah didn't. Who shall I send and who will go for me? Oh, pick me, pick me, pick me. How many of you have ever seen the person go, oh, that's so obnoxious, I'm not picking them. They pick somebody else. Right? I'm just being real with you. I didn't even mean to be funny there. Right? But what's God say? And he said, go and say this, say to this people. And he gives him the word. He tells him, go. He says, here am I, send me. And God chose him. So here's what I want to pray this morning. And some of you, this is just what I felt in my heart. If you need to come to the altar, then do it. There's no judgmentalism here. We've all been there, and we rejoice with people when God moves in their life. We rejoice. One of our core values here is openness, honor and openness. We honor all people. And listen, I would rather people come to the altar every time they're here, knowing that they're going to get their victory, than the people sit back and think, well, I'm glad I'm not like some of those Pharisees and Sadducees, religious people. So if you need to come to the altar as we begin to pray this, because we're going to repent again. We're going to repent. We're going to remind ourselves. We have been saying things that we shouldn't say. We have been getting wrapped up in conversations that aren't helpful to the kingdom of heaven. We've been putting our mouth on one another. We've been talking about each other.
And I'm not talking about any specific experience right now. I'm not thinking about any of that. I just know churches. Sometimes it's churches putting their mouth on other churches. We are a people of unclean lips. How sad is it that there's some people that are Christians that are more concerned with the Super Bowl today than they are doing something for Jesus? I love football. I played football. I'm probably going to watch the Super Bowl if I have time. But shame on us for being more excited to talk about the Super Bowl than we are Jesus. That's a people of unclean lips. Well, Pastor, that's not sinful. I know it's not sinful. But where's your heart? Your heart's revealed by what you're wanting to talk about. I know there's some people in here, I don't even like sports. I'm good. Okay, what about that hobby that you can't stop talking about? What about that thing in your life? What about, oh, this will get all of us Pentecostals. What about how much forward you're looking to all the food you're going to eat at the party instead of the actual game? Are we so concerned with all of these earthly things that we've forgotten that God has called us to heavenly things? John 10:10 says that the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said in that same verse, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Church, we live in a very crazy climate right now. In Cary, Ohio, rural Cary, Ohio, someone was shot and killed. Again. Again. I mean, that's something that used to happen every once in 100 years. Again. Now maybe you don't take it this way, but I do. That's an indictment on me. I'm the one shining light in the darkness. Why are people killing each other in the town I live in? Well, there's just evil out there, Pastor. Yeah, and we're supposed to be shining the light to them. We need to repent, church. We need to turn away from just playing this game called church, because eternity matters and people are facing eternity. I don't know who the people were involved. I don't know anything about them. But what if the person that was shot and killed didn't know Jesus? They lived in my town. What about the man that became so distraught that he thought he had to take another person's life? They live in my town. They need Jesus. They need the love of God. They need the forgiveness of God. Come on, let's pray. If you need to come to the altar, then come to the altar. God, forgive us right now. Forgive us, God. Help us to love like you love. Help us to speak what you speak. We speak life. Forgive us for speaking death. We speak life. Purge and cleanse our mouths. Purge and cleanse our minds. Purge and cleanse our hearts, God. Forgive us, Lord. We turn away right now. We turn away right now. And we look to you. We turn away from sin. We turn away from shame. We turn away from guilt. We turn away from laziness. And we turn our hearts to you right now, God.
We receive your love and your grace and your forgiveness. We receive it with thanksgiving. God, I thank you that you're saving us from ourselves. That you're rescuing us from our selfishness. We receive the cleansing of our minds, the cleansing of our hearts, the cleansing of our lips, so that we can speak pure, holy things that are of life. Now, God, we know that you have given us the commission to go. I know that you're looking for people to go. God, I can't speak for anybody else in this room, but I say to you, here I am, God. Send me. Let me go forth for you. Let me share your love and your light to people that are in my world. Let me be a part of building your kingdom, God. Here I am. Send me. Forgive me for the times that I didn't answer your call. Forgive me for the times I was lazy and I ignored you. But here I am. Send me, God. Send me. For Father, there are so many who are dying and don't know you. There are so many people that need rescued and they need to make you Lord. We pray for the lost right now. Commitment that we have made, that we've kept every Sunday. But God, we can't pray for the lost without praying for laborers to go forth and reap your harvest of lost souls. So send us, God, and let us see people's lives transformed and changed. Born again. Shine your light through us into the dark heart of the soul and rescue people from their sin, their sickness, and their shame. Redeem their life. Give them new life, God. You see the hearts that are in here right now, and you see the people that are on those hearts that they're crying out for, our loved ones that are lost. Our loved ones that don't know you, God, we're crying out for them right now. Send your voice to them. Let there be a person that's willing to be your mouthpiece and speak forth your words to our sons, to our daughters, to our grandchildren, to our aunts, our uncles, Lord, to our fathers and mothers and grandfathers and grandmothers. To all of our family members, God, cousins and nieces and nephews, Lord. But then our neighbors, God, the people we come in contact with, people we work with. God, save the lost. Give us a heart for lost souls, Father. I thank you, God, for what you're doing in us. Thank you that you have given us remission of sin. You've reconciled us back to you. You've redeemed us. And through you, we have received repentance. Through the blood of Jesus Christ, we receive repentance, Lord. We turn away from that which was, and we turn to you, God. Fully give you everything, Lord. We fully give you everything, Lord, right now, so that we can go forth and speak your word with boldness and see people transformed and changed. God, I thank you for a church full of people, this group of believers right here, this local body that is passionate. It's hungry for you. We're seeing glimpses of your glory. We're seeing you begin to move, God. But I pray right now that you would give us the strength and the boldness to walk in your power as we leave this place so that we can give people your love. They can see you in us.
Let us be your image bearers. Let us shine forth your light into this dark world. I thank you for hope right now. I thank you for peace right now. I thank you that you're dealing with those things in our heart, though it may be painful. Father, there's deep hurts right now, deep hurts that you're healing. Father, sometimes we understand that deep hurts have deep infections. But I thank you that you're digging out that infection completely. You're removing it, and you're bringing complete healing to our souls. We speak wholeness into people's lives right now. Wholeness to people's lives. God, we will abide under your shadow that people may see the glorious image of Jesus Christ through us. Send us. Let us go in peace. And if there are things that try to come against us, if the thief tries to come and steal and kill and destroy, Lord, we walk in the abundance of your life. Lord, we penetrate the darkness right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Won't you just lift your hands and give God some praise right now? Thank you, Lord, that you've heard our prayers. We thank you, Lord, that you're moving. We thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Pastor Alicia, can you sing that song? I told you, it's in two languages, you know. Yeah. Let's sing a song together. She's going to sing it in English first, and then we're going to sing it in Spanish. All right? This is the way we're going to dismiss this morning. This just came to me. Actually, I told her 4 weeks ago to be ready to sing this song. Never got around to it till now. It says that we're going to walk in the light. We're walking in the light. Come on, let's sing it. Hallelujah. How many of you, that's your prayer? Let's walk in the light of God. Father, I thank you for this community. I thank you that you've sent us into this region. God, I thank you that we are going to see your word fulfilled in us. We walk in light. We walk in your faith. We walk in your Holy Spirit. And we walk in your power, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You guys have a wonderful Sunday. Don't forget to pick up your kids from their class this morning.